it was a great week in sports, especially for black women out here doing their thing, setting records, sprinkled with a little bit of white supremacy, because, you know, sometimes white people just can't get right. But sit back, relax, because I'm about to give it to you how it's supposed to be gotten, you heard me? Let's get it on.
I call the president. President, we need a National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare, because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back.
Rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from the airport.
Yo! And welcome back to the Fix Sports Podcast, which is the realest and the blackest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life. I'm coming straight from the south, going down. Audio Shop Talk right in your ear hole, brought to you like it's supposed to be brought to you right here on the Freedom Train Network at www.freedomtrainradio.com by yours truly, the host with the most, the dude that you always see leaving your mama's bedroom, Joseph Ward, all up in you right here with the Fix Sports Podcast. Like I said, it's the realest and the blackest sports podcast that you have ever heard. And if you don't know, now you know. Shout out to all the new listeners, and I love you, to all my regulars, because without y'all, we just be out here talking to ourselves, but we ain't. Y'all tuning in, so stay tuning in. Hey, remember, you can get the video of this on Patreon. If you become a patron, support your homeboy. If you really like this podcast, you can support your homeboy at www.patreon.com/thefix. You heard me? And remember, the Fix Sports Podcast, excuse me, I'm getting all mixed up, but the Fix Sports Podcast is sponsored by On the Shoulders of Giants. Now, On the Shoulders of Giants bring you the stories of the unsung heroes and sung heroes of the African diaspora, who we normally don't learn about through the African History Book Series, the African History Blog, the African History YouTube channel, or the On the Shoulders of Giants YouTube channel, rather. The On the Shoulders of Giants African History Curriculum app, the On the Shoulders of Giants nonprofit organization, as well as the On the Shoulders of Giants online courses, which is available on Patreon at www.patreon.com/OTSOG. All you got to do is visit the website at www.ontheshoulders1.com or www.ontheshoulders.org, where you can get easy access to black history information that you most likely wouldn't learn anywhere else. Bam, really going down in the south. Hey, we got a lot in a little bit of time, so I got to get to it, and I got to break it down, because everybody know the name, Joseph Ward and the Moment Gang, so I'm freestyling on the mic, and I got to make it right, so I'm about to let it go, baby girl, so won't you settle down tonight. See, everybody know that I'm the man right here in the hood, so baby girl, just lay on back, and let me give you that. Oh, yeah. All right, so episode 22, season 4 of the Fix Sports Podcast. So let me give you the rundown real quick. Oh shit, I got choked up. I'm wild, but. And our HBCU spotlight is the one and only Pudick Carter and the Norfolk State Spartans as they explode to win at Howard Homecoming, breaking their shit up, because I think they invited Kanye anyway, so they should have lost. But we're going to break it down for that boy named Pudick. Coming at your booty, and that boy named Pudick is coming at your booty. You know what I'm talking about? It sounded better in my head. When I was saying it in my head, it sounded better. I might not do that again, but it's all good. Hey, so Simone Biles once again is shitting on the competition. Get it? Simone Biles shitting. If you don't, you don't know comedy. All right. Also, Coco Gauff wins in Australia. So the 15-year-old Coco Gauff out here winning these chips. You heard me? So Shelly Ann Fraser Pryce, she wins her fourth gold medal. You know, cementing herself as the fastest woman in the world. The brother named Eliud Kipchoge, I probably said that wrong, so my bad, Eliud. Eliud, I'm messing the whole brother name up, but Eliud Kipchoge, he breaks the two-hour marathon barrier. Bring you up to speed on the Major League Baseball playoffs, break down week 7 college football, break down week 6 of the NFL, tell you who the champions is of the WNBA, because their season is over, some geese, the WNBA champions. So also the former general manager for the LA Sparks, Pinatolo, was fired because she used the N-word. So I'm going to talk about that. Our boxing homeboy, Errol Spence, was in a bad, bad car crash. And then our Monday rant is aimed at some dumbass Penn State alumni who thought it was a good idea to write a letter to the player telling him that he didn't like his hair, and his hair, his locks make the school look bad. So we gonna tell this pussy motherfucker how the fuck we feel about his motherfucking love. You heard me? But you know how we do. You know how we get down. For all my listeners who been listeners, my watchers who been watchers, you know how I finna go down, when to go down, when to stay down, when to be down inside. Cause we gotta start it off a little something like this. In your face. So that boy named Pootie. Pootie Carter led Norfolk State to a win at Howard Homecoming Bus. Howard got that homecoming busted up. Right. So quarterback Jawan Carter, aka Pootie, accounted for 433 yards of total offense and 6 touchdowns as Norfolk State snapped a 4-game losing streak with a 49-21 win over Howard on Saturday in Green Stadium. Ooh, Howard got their drug at their homecoming. Ooh, fam, you didn't. I'm just saying, fam, you didn't. So, Carter passed for 377 yards and 4 scores, tying a career high, and also ran for 56 yards and 2 more touchdowns. Junior wideouts Justin Smith and Tylane McElhinney both posted career highs in receiving yards. Smith had 133. McElhinney had 109, with Smith scoring twice and McElhinney scored once. It was all part of a 648-yard day for the Spartans. Their record now is 2-5, and they're 1-2 in the conference. Their most since their school record, 659-yard performance against Bethune-Cookman in 2005. The Spartans' defense helped Norfolk State pull away from a 28-21 halftime advantage, and they shut out the Bison in the second half. And damn, I was 1-6. That's why I got down. Kalen Newton won the lead because they were losing. The Spartans intercepted 2 passes and notched a season-high 5 sacks. The teams traded scores early. Norfolk State scored on his first 2 drives. Kevin Johnson scored on the 4-yard run to cap the first possession. And after Derek Parsons scored on a 14-yard something to tie the game for Howard, Carter tossed a 19-yard TD pass to the Keldon James to put the Spartans up 14-7 at the 8:17 mark of the first quarter. Right? Oh, shit getting intense. Not really, though. But both teams scored twice in the second, right? And then Joshua Cruz 4-yard TD run tied the game early in the period. You know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah, I feel you, dog. You know what I'm talking about? So the teams then combined for 3 touchdowns, and in the final 5 minutes of the half, right, Carter's 4-yard TD run game in that shoe, a short-lived 21-14 lead, you heard me? So Quentin Williams threw for a 16-yard TD pass to Kyle Anthony with 2:22 left in the second period, tied up for the third time. Everybody like, oh, shit, my nigga. Oh, shit, my nigga, we tied again, my nigga. They didn't let us score, now we tied again. So the Spartans were forced to punt after their next possession. But when Howard got the ball back, Spartan quarterback Devian Cole, Spartan cornerback, excuse me, Devian Cole's intercepted a Williams pass at the NSU 47. Three plays later, Smith went over a defender and hauled an acrobatic 31-yard TD pass from Carter to send the Spartans to the half with a 28-21 lead. That's when shit got real, right? The second half was all Spartans. NSU allowed just 92 total yards in the second half to force Howard to punt four times in its five possessions. After the Bison were forced to punt on the first drive of the third quarter, Carter threw for a 60-yard touchdown pass to Smith with the wide out outracing the defense after catching a short pass over the middle. Carter finished NSU's next possession with a 2-yard TD run, capping an 11-play, 66-yard drive as the Spartans went up 42-21 with just 58 seconds left in the third, right? NSU added to his lead early in the fourth. Carter connected with McEl Henney on a 30-yard TD pass through the tight coverage to cap the scoring. Carter needed just 15 completions and 23 attempts to amass 377 yards, the second most of his career and the most by me at quarterback this year. His six touchdowns accounted for are also the most by me at player this year. Smith tallied 133 receiving yards on just three catches. McEl Henney had four catches, 109 yards, and James went four for 51, tied for the team lead in receptions. Yeah, James had four catches for 51 yards. They presented that weird. Aaron Savage rushed for a season high 108 yards with just 12 carries. It was his third career 100-yard game and first of the season. As a team, Norfolk State ran for 271 yards, its most since a 309-yard day at Savannah State in 2010. Cephas Harden, that boy named Cephas. Ooh, doggy. Cephas Harden led the Spartans defense with 11 tackles. Oh, shit. Almost choked. And Nigel Chavis had 10. Chris Myers accounted for 1.5 of NCU's 5 sacks. Safety Nahiri Quinerly added a second-half interception for the Spartans' other takeaway of the day. NSU will hit the road again for the next contest at 4 p.m., a game next Saturday against Bethune-Cookman, and we don't care who wins. But you know what time it is? Nah, you don't know what time it is. You know what time it is, dog? Drop that thing on like this. Right, man, that was my HBCU spotlight there, yeah. So you know how we go when we go when we do how we do. Let's move on like Mike. And let's talk about the young lady who I hear shitting on the competition. The one and only Simone Biles, right? She becomes the most decorated gymnast in world championship history. I'm going to say it again. She became the most decorated gymnast in world championship history. Young Simone Biles out here sitting on the competition straight up. So, the article reads, Simone Biles is the greatest gymnast of our time, or any time in history. She proved that Sunday at the world championships, where she is ranked in her 24th and 25th world medals, both gold. In your face. Biles, who's 22, took home 5 of 6 golds to be won in Stuttgart, Germany, winning the top of the podium in team competition all around and vault in addition to floor and beam. On the uneven bar, she took 5th. Oh, man, but she'll come back and get that right. Combining the skills of the unprecedented difficulty with the flawless execution. Bio surpassed Belarusian Vitaly Sibirov's record 23 world medals he won in the 1990s. Yeah. A gold on the balance beam evaded Biles at the 2016 Olympics in Rio, and she has her eyes on that prize next summer in Tokyo. The gold that appeared well within reach with her rock solid performance on Sunday. She won the beam competition more than a half a point, even though she opted not to perform the difficult dismount that's named after her, a double twisting double back. I don't know what that is, but this shit sounds difficult. So, the dismount called the Biles became the subject of controversy in days before the World Championships. FIG, the International Governing Body for Gymnastics, decided earlier this month to award the dismount a difficulty rating just 1/10 higher than the same move with one fewer twists. Many, including Biles herself, were critical of that decision, spurring FIG to release a statement in which it claimed the committee had made its decision in part out of concern for gymnasts' safety. The rating led Biles to scrap the dismount on Sunday. It's not worth the 1/10 extra difficulty point. I am sorry, it's just not, she said, according to the Associated Press. But on the floor, Biles soared with another element named after her, a triple twisting double back. As NBC's announcer intoned, Biles' floor routine was so packed with difficulty that she could have removed a twist from each tumbling pass and still won. Greatly. Biles captured the event with a score of 15.133, a 4 point higher than her second place U.S. teammate, Susanna Sanitia Lee. Yeah. Biles beamed at the five goals adorned her neck. So she was out there blinging. She got that real shit on her. Can't see her chains. Can't see her chains. Chain gang. You hear me? Okay, come on now. Come on now. Work with me, computer. But anyway, Simone Biles, I have balling on these folk. 25 gold medals total. 25 total medals. She won 5 at World Championships, cementing herself as the greatest gymnast of our time and kind of maybe the greatest gymnast of all time. Has she got 25 goals? Who else got 25 goals in the World Championships? Not you. Not you. Not you. Not you. Not you. Not you. Right? Only her. Because she what? Shitting on the competition. You heard me? I said she's shitting on the competition. You heard me? I'm feeling like a rapper today. What? Feeling like a trapper today. I'm feeling like a crapper today. But one time, man. So, Simone Biles, keep winning, baby. Keep winning, keep winning, keep winning. Don't stop winning. Don't spare nobody feelings. Do you keep winning, man? And so proud of you. Doing it for the coach, doing it for the people. And you got a black boyfriend. So, you know, that's what's up. And so y'all go ahead and put your hands together for the great Simone Biles, everybody. Let's move on. Talk about a little tennis stuff. Keep the black girl magic going. Keep the black girl magic going to talk about that Coco Gauff, that shot, because she scored her first Women's World Tennis Association singles title at 15 years old with Lynn's open win. I don't know what that means. But I'm a fine dot looking like a young Venus out there, shot. So, teen tennis sensation Corey Coco Gauff captured the public's attention this summer when she defeated Venus Williams and made a surprising run to the round of 16 at Wimbledon. She backed up the performance with a pair of wins at the U.S. Open before failing to top-rank Naomi Osaka. You heard me? Hold on now. Give me a minute now. This thing acting crazy now. I don't know why this thing acting crazy now, y'all. for the thing. I think Chris and Sococo out there winning on these people now, right? Because the tennis world ain't going to be the same with that Coco there. Yeah, this your homeboy there. My name is Jacob. I'm straight from the bayou, and I'm going to tell you about that Coco there, y'all. You hear me? I'm from the bayou there. My name is Jacob. I used to hunt alligators with Elizabeth on that boat in that bayou down there. Because that Troy Landry taught me how to be the king of the bayou there. You hear me? So I got to go down there and get that. So that girl, that Coco, right? She's a 15-year-old American who won her first pro event as she captured the Lynx Open in a three-set victory over the 2017 French Open winner, Jelena. Last name I can't say. You hear me? You hear me, Shell? Golf is the youngest player in the WTA Tour to win a singles title since 2004 and the youngest American since 1991, the year that the sun came out there, Shell. And the same year, I killed my first alligators on the bayou in Pierre Parish. You hear me, Shell? So Venus and Serena Williams both won their first career titles at 17. Tracy Austin was the youngest winner ever at 14 and 19 and 7 and 7. So 1977, you hear me? In Portland, Oregon. The comparisons between golf and the Williams sisters have run rampant since she became the youngest to reach the U.S. Open's girls' final at 13 in 2001-7. Goff grew up playing in Delray, Florida. She got to be a Florida girl to be balling like that, even though I'm from Florida. I'm from the bayou of Florida of Louisiana. Yeah. So a short drive from the home of Serena and Venus, who Goff says was her idols, who she grew up wanting to be like on that tennis court. And guess what? Who she being like on that tennis court? She being like that Venus and a Serena on that tennis court. So Goff works with the Williams, his longtime coach, Patrick last name I can't say, Patrick. Yeah. So tennis marketers all have I sat on golf for a couple of years. There's a potential candidate to fill the void that will be left in America's tennis when Venus at the age of 3 and 9 and Serena at the age of 3 and 8 finally hang up their tennis rackets and say, I don't want to play that tennis no more, that shot. I do not want to play that tennis no more. So she signed a trio of multi-year deals with that New Balance shoe, head, and Barilla Group over the past year that will earn her more than $1 million off the court for 2001 and 2009. So Lynx's victory was worth $43,000 to Goff and pushes her total of 2001 and 2009 prize money up over $500,000 this year. You know how many alligators I got to kill to get me $500,000 this year? I got to kill about 1 million alligators to get me $1,000 this year. But you know what? On that bayou, we don't have no time to play no tennis there. No, we don't have no time to play no tennis on that bayou because we got to go get them gators. Because if them gators don't die, then the rooster don't fry. You heard me? You know what that means? If the goddamn, if we don't eat no get, if we don't bring no gator meat, then goddamn it, we ain't going to eat. And on that bayou, if you're going to starve, them gators going to get you. So we got to make sure we get them gators first on that bayou in the great state of Louisiana. And that is that girl Coco Golf there. So if you want to be a real human being, go ahead and put your hands together for that Coco Golf there, shall. That Coco Golf, shall. That young tennis prodigy, the one. Tennis championship on the football, and there ain't a 1 in 5. Looking like a young Venus Williams, one time for football. And if you don't like it, that's because you a hater in real life. You heard me? You heard me? So let's flip to a little track and field. I'm running. Ready, right? So Shelly Ann Fraser Price wins 4th world championship in the 100 meter gold. All right, so she out there. Shelly bad, man. So Shelly Ann Fraser Price of Jamaica has won her 4th world championship gold medal in the 100 meters. after revealing a new rainbow dyed hairstyle. That's kind of what I was looking at too. She clocked at 10.17 in front of a sparse crowd in the Qatari capital. So yeah, she was hauling ass. She was that bit hauling ass. Oh, she was hauling ass. She was hauling ass. Right? She see my arms. She can see the bills hauling ass. So 10.1 seconds, right? So 2 years after having her first child, Frazier-Price became the oldest woman to win an Olympic world 100-meter title at 32 years old. Shout out to Shelly for just continuing to win. Be a juggernaut. Continue to be a juggernaut. So, Asher Smith of Britain took silver at 10.83, and Marie Josie Talu of Ivory Coast took 10.90. Defending champion Tori Boyer of the United States withdrew before the semifinals. No reason was given, but injuries have hampered her from over the last year. Christian Coleman of the United States won the World Championship gold medal in the men's 100 meter Saturday, 3 weeks after avoiding a ban for missed drug tests. But this is about Shelly-Ann Frazier. And this is a little video of her catching up. So you're not gonna be able to hear it real good, but Shelly-Ann, she left the field. Hold on, let me start back. Alright, so she caught out. She had a great start. She stood up a little later. I mean, by the time she stood up, she was in front of everybody by the time she stood up. That's why she won at 10.71. She caught out on there. I'm talking about by the time she stood up, she was in front of everybody. Right, they're looking like a super one. That's what I'm talking about. One more time. By the time she stood all the way up, it was over. Like, man, you got to see this, man. By the time she, like, stood all the way up, this thing over. It's over. Shelly-Ann Frazier-Price, man. If you don't know the name, better say it twice. Shelly-Ann Frazier-Price. If you don't know the name, better say it twice. That's tight, man. So, once again, man, y'all put your hands together for Shelly-Ann Frazier-Price out here. Over. If you don't know, you're going to learn on this show. You know what I'm talking about? If you don't know, you're going to learn on this show. All right, so talk about records. Still on our record-breaking thing. And people doing their thing. That shit rhyme. So, excuse me, brother, for butchering your name. But yeah, that's all I'm going to say. So, Eliud Kipchoge breaks 2-hour marathon barrier. I don't know why I was doing my hands like that. But in Vienna, the Kenyan achieved a milestone once believed to be unattainable. But his time of 1 hour, 59 minutes, and 40 seconds will not be recognized as the world record because these races crackers. On the misty Saturday morning in Vienna, on a course specially chosen for speed and an athletic spectacle of historic proportions, Eliud Kipchoge of Kenya ran 26.2 miles on a once inconceivable time of 1 hour, 59 minutes, and 40 seconds. It just sounded like it needed to be read in somewhat of a half-assed British accent. And becoming the first person to cover the marathon distance in less than 2 hours, Kipchoge, who's 34 years old, achieved a sports... I'm finna read this in African. He achieved a sports milestone granted almost mythical status in the running world. Yes. Breaking through a temporal barrier that many have deemed untouchable only a few years ago. My voices are terrible. So, Kipchoge, an 8-time major marathon winner and 3-time Olympic medalist, pounced his chest twice as he crossed the finish line via his leafy Prater Park, where the majority of the run had unfolded on a long straightaway of recently paved road with roundabouts on either end. Cheered on by a thick crowd of spectators, he was lifted into the air by members of his team, including the 41 professional runners who had acted as parachuters, pace setters during the run. For Kipchoge, the feat merely burnished his credentials as the world's greatest marathoner. Together, when we run, we can make this world a beautiful world, Kipchoge said after finishing. For all its magnitude, the accomplishment will be regarded largely as a symbolic one. The eye-popping time, which was 10 seconds quicker than the 1 minute 59 seconds in 1 hour 59 minutes and 50 seconds time Kipchoge and his team had set out to achieve, it would not be officially recognized as a world record because it was not run under open marathon conditions and because it featured a dense rotation of professional pace setters. Fuck that shit. What the event lacked in officiality sanctioned gravitas through its scene determined to make up for with theater and grandiose proclamations. Why did they write that shit like that? Got me out here sounding stupid. Why they wrote that shit like that? Hey, man, look. The event may not have the official stamping on it for my dog record to be recognized by them boys. Fuck them for all that shit, though. But what they lacked in that official shit, dog, my homeboy kept choking. He brought the funk. She straight brought the funk. And people enjoyed themselves. They was like, Chogi, Chogi, Chogi. Now I'm lying. I don't know what they were saying, but Kipchoge did his thing. So, they should have just said it like that. That's all I'm saying. The run organized by the petrochemical company INEOS, features a cycle of hype and commercial build-up more reminiscent of a heavyweight prize fight than a road race. Organizers build the 2-hour marks at the last barrier of modern athletics and try to get a hashtag no human is limited trending on social media. Yeah, that shit didn't work. Kipchoge repeatedly compared a potential sub 2-hour marathon to humanity's first journey to the surface of the moon. That boy wildin'. So the pressure was very big on my shoulder, said Kipchoge, who revealed he had received a call from President Uhuru Kenyatta of Kenya the night before the run. Yes, I got a phone call from the president. And he said, run your heart out for your country. So, whatever the scope of the achievement, it required a prodigious amount of planning. You better say that goddamn word. Seeking the most welcome environment for Kipchoge to accept such a feat, the event's organizers had settled on Vienna. It was not too warm, not too cold, and not at all hilly. The altitude of 540 feet above sea level was just right, and there was only one time zone away from Kipchoge's training camp at Kaptagat, Kenya, where he had worked out for the past 4 months under the guidance of his longtime coach, Patrick Sane. He led a monastic existence there, eating, sleeping, and exercising for the sole purpose of running fast. To his normal preparations, he had workouts focused on core strength in order to lessen the strain on his hamstrings. So, on Saturday, Kipchoge showed the subtlest signs of strain on his face in the first half of the run and fell a couple of seconds behind his desired pace in a few proportions. He ran the final stretches of the marathon with his lips curled into a gentle smile. Afterward, he walked with a barely perceptible limp. There are no guarantees in sports. Jim Ratcliffe, the billionaire founder of INEOS, said to Kipchoge after the finish. I used the wrong accent at the wrong time. So, if you could have had a bad day, but you had a really good day, Kipchoge had made an attempt at a two-hour barrier once before in 2007 in a similar event organized by Nike. He ran a two-hour and 25-second marathon at an auto racer rack in Monzona, Italy. It was by far the fastest marathon ever run, but it was not officially recognized as a world record because it was not ran under normal race conditions. That seemed to be a thing. But anyway, my dog, Eliud Kipchoge, breaks a barrier for marathon, and he lied for that. So y'all better put y'all goddamn heads together for my dog, Eliud. So let me bring y'all up to speed on what's going on in further in the sports world. You know, I'm talking about with this NBA. I mean, not NBA, but MLB playoffs, MLB playoffs, college football, the NFL, and the W and the NBA. Right? So we left off last Monday, which was the 7th. Let me double check my calendar. See, it never rains in Southern California. That's acting crazy. It never rains. Here you go. Yep, the 7th, right? So that's where I'm going to pick up from. Actually, pick up from the 8th. I'm talking about. I didn't pass the shit. Hold on. Give me a moment there. Don't rush me. Do not rush me. I will karate chop you. Alright, so what we picked up in the AL, the Astros and the Rays, that happened on Tuesday the 8th, which was game 4, series tied to 2-2, and the Rays beat the Astros 4-1. Alright, so in the NL, St. Louis Cardinals, man, they thrashed my goddamn Braves, man. They dropped 10 runs on them boys in the first inning, and it was off. So St. Louis win the series 3-2. The Washington Nationals win their series against the L.A. Dodgers 3-2. The Houston Astros finally win the series against Tampa Bay Rays 3-2. Let's move on. So the league championship series, we got the Washington Nationals versus the St. Louis Cardinals. Then we got the Yankees and the Astros, right? Really going down. So game one, the Nationals beat the Cardinals 2-0. Game two, the Nationals beat the Cardinals 3-1, right? So it's game three right now going on for the Nationals and the Cardinals. It's the bottom of the third, and the Nationals are up 2-0 right now. Right now. All right, so in the NL, AL, because that was NL, that was National League. So in the American League, Yankees and Astros, right? Game one, Yankees took a 1-0 lead, beat the Astros 7-0. Game two, the Astros came back, beat the Yankees 3-2 to tie the series up at 1-1. So game three for the Yankees and the Astros is tomorrow at 4 p.m. So that's baseball. You caught up on baseball. You better get your mind right. So that college football, man. And Florida State got their ass whooped by Clemson. The boy didn't even bother to show up. You know how they say, did you even paint the bitch? Nope, Florida State didn't. Got their ass whooped, though. Now I'm sure got their ass whooped. Florida State. Now, Florida State 3-3 on the season. They can make a bowl game. I used to have three wins in them. to win some big bowl game. But, you know, that's about it. Clemson dog walked them boys 45-14. And it wasn't even close. It wasn't even close. But let me give you these scores. So Virginia, number 20 at the time, lost to Miami. Them Canes came through. And they won 17-9. That boy, Coastal Perry, he got a strong arm, but he just got to work on the accuracy. But he went 16-27, 182 yards, a touchdown, and no pick. That boy, DJ Dallas, had 13 carries, 63 yards. So that lifted, that helped them Canes get that night, that 17-9 win. Michigan beat Illinois 42-25. South Carolina upset Georgia 20-17 and the second OT. South Carolina got the field goal in the second overtime. So yeah, so they went. Okay. All right, I had to read, my bad. I had to read this thing right. So they went into the fourth quarter, went into the end of the game, 17-17, right? And then in the second overtime, South Carolina got a field goal to go ahead and win it. And they beat Georgia, man. They beat Georgia. Georgia was ranked number 3 at the time. Alabama did their thing against Texas A&M, won 47-28. See what Tua did. What did Tua do? Tua went 20 off 34, 293 yards, 4 touchdowns, and 1 pick. Najee Harris had 20 carries, 114 yards. Steve Smith had 7 receptions, 99 yards, and a touchdown. My prescription seems to be really tough. Oh, shit. It just works. Somebody itching. Half a dozen or more choices in front of you of pricing and locations. Hey, dog, we ain't asking for that shit, dog. Something out for medication prices. I have good insurance from a good office. We ain't asking all that shit, dog. What is this plan?
It's absolutely free. No cost to me whatsoever. I get to save
$1,180. I'm not getting paid $1,180. What is this? What is that, man? White girl's just going to interrupt me like that. How dare her? That's disrespectful, though. How dare her just interrupt me like that? Me? She know who I'm is? She gonna interrupt me? Come on, white girl. She's gonna interrupt the people like that, man. I don't even know what that was. That's right here. Alright, so let me continue. And the matchup of the weekend, Florida versus LSU, a good one for LSU. LSU won because Florida was calling some dumbass plays. Point blank period. Dumbass play calling and not real tackling is what lost Florida this game. Because that LSU quarterback, that LSU offense, man, that ain't no joke. So Florida's quarterback, Trask, yeah, that boy named Trask, went 23 for 39, 310 yards, 3 touchdowns in the pick. But Florida's coach kept switching him out with the backup quarterback who can't throw, and that was disrupting the rhythm. P. Ryan had 17 carries, 65 yards, and no touchdown. V. Jefferson had 8 receptions, 73 yards, 2 touchdowns. He was working that freshman, that good-ass freshman cornerback. He was working that boy for this series. So Josh Burrow for LSU went 229 yards, 3 touchdowns, no pick. C. Edwards Hilaire had 13 carries, 134 yards, 2 touchdowns. Jay Chase had 7 receptions, 127 yards, 2 touchdowns. So LSU had 511 total yards. Florida had 457. Time of possession, though, Florida had an enormous time of possession. and the number of plays they ran, I think Florida ran over 70 plays. But LSU just overcame that shit, man. So, Oregon beat Colorado 45-3. Memphis lost to Temple 28-30. Another game of the weekend was Oklahoma versus Texas. And not really because we expect Oklahoma to win. And you know that boy Jalen Hurts. There with us, so that was 34-27 Oklahoma over Texas, right? So Jalen Hurts went 16-28, 235 yards, 3 touchdowns, and a pick. He also had 17 carries, 131 yards, and a touchdown. C.D. Lamb, the best receiver in the nation, the strongest receiver in the nation, had 10 receptions, 171 yards, 3 touchdowns. Hey, man, C.D. Lamb is the truth. I'm talking about he top 5, top 10 draftable truth. If that boy don't go in the top 10, motherfuckers don't know what they're doing. That boy C.D. Lamb is the truth. I don't know how to say it no other way. Strongest man in Oklahoma. Texas, that quarterback Sam Ehlinger went 26 for 38, 210 yards. R. Johnson had 8 carries, 95 yards, and a touchdown. And Texas receiver C. Johnson had 6 receptions, 82 yards. Wisconsin beat Michigan State 38-0. Continued their winning way. Let's see what Wisconsin running back did. He went 26 carries, 80 yards, and 2 touchdowns. First time he didn't go over 100. So Arizona State, shout out to Herman Edwards. They went 30. They won 38-34. Washington State, Cincinnati beat Houston 38-23. Baylor beat Texas Tech 33-30. Wake Forest beat Louisville as they should. Oh, they lost to Louisville. Oh shit, skill miss, skill miss, skill miss, gone. So Louisville beat them boys 62-59. Penn State beat Iowa 17-12. Notre Dame beat USC 30-27. Utah beat Oregon State 52-7. Boise State beat Hawaii. Hey, why? 59-37. And I think Alabama has Auburn next week, I believe. Yeah, I believe it's Alabama Auburn next week. Let's check. Florida plays soccer. No, Alabama play Tennessee. I almost had a sight. Florida play South Carolina. Who LSU play? And they try to make it seem like, oh, it's Michigan Penn State. Oh, do got that? Do got Michigan Penn State? What else we got? That'd be a good one. Shit, that's it. I'm talking about. Come on, put sad phone. So let's look at some hold on. It's acting up. Coochad internet, man. I got the CenturyLink. You tripping sometimes, Carl. Man, I'm doing the podcast here, CenturyLink. And you want to have some discrepancies going on in your life, right? That's how you want to get now. I'm in here doing my podcast, trying to update my folk and tell them about college football score. So, right when I'm finna get to the black scores, right, you want to start tripping. Is it because they black? Is it because it's a HBCU? Huh? Is that what it is, CenturyLink? I got you, CenturyLink. I got you. So when I go out to talk about black college football, all of a sudden, you want to buffer and take your time, right? Yeah, I know. I know how I go down. I know. You better work. See, I called it out. It want to work. So HBCU, MEAC, FAMU get the victory over South Carolina State, which helped them continue their winning ways. I think they're, 4-1, 5-1. But FAMU got the victory 42-38. It was a hard fought game, won in the last seconds of the game. As far as defense holding up, Ryan Stanley went 30 for 49, 427 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 picks. T. Jennings had 5 carries for 5 yards, 2 touchdowns. Xavier Smith balled out once again, 8 receptions, 137 yards, 2 touchdowns. So, one time for them Rattlers, striking on their ass. Bethune-Cookman beat North Carolina Central, 27-13. Norfolk State beat Howard, talked about that, 49-21. Morgan State beat Delaware, 34-3. North Carolina A&T was on the bye week. So let's see what's up with that SWAC. So in the SWAC, Alabama A&M fell to Grambling State, 23-10, because that Bayou there. Arkansas Pine Bluff beat Mississippi Valley State, 38-6. Alcorn State beat Savannah State, 42-17. Alabama State beat Jackson State, 31-16. Missouri Roller beat Texas Southern, 23-20. I never heard of Missouri Roller. Prairie View A&M lost to Southern, 34-28. All right, so that NFL now. Let's talk about that NFL. And that week 6 of that NFL, that football. So, in week 6, right? See, the Thursday night game was the Patriots versus the Giants. And the Patriots got the victory to remain undefeated. They got the 35-14 victory over the Giants. At some points, it looked like, man, it's going to be tough. But then in the fourth quarter, Patriots got 2 touchdowns to pull away because it was 21-14 going into the third quarter. Neither team scored in the third quarter. Then Patriots got 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter and got the 35-14 victory. Tom Brady went 31-41, 334 yards. No touchdowns in the pick. Sonny Michel, 22 carries, 86 yards. Julian Edelman had 9 receptions, 113 yards. That boy Daniel Jones, Daniel Jones looked good out there. He didn't look bad. He had 3 picks, but Daniel Jones got something. He got a little something. I ain't saying he gonna be good, but Daniel Jones got something. So then we had the Texans versus the Chiefs. So that was DeSean Jackson against Patrick Mahomes, and that boy DeSean Jackson got the victory, 31-24 victory over the Chiefs. DeSean Jackson. DeSean Watson led the Houston Texans to a victory over the Chiefs. So Watson went 30 for 42, 280 yards, a touchdown, and 2 picks. Patrick Mahomes went 19 for 35, 273 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 1 pick. For the Texans, Carlos Hyde had 26 carries, 116 yards, 4 touchdowns, and Dee Fells for the Texans at 6 receptions, 69 yards. LeSean McCoy for the Chiefs had 8 carries, 44 yards. And Tyreek Hill for the Chiefs had 5 receptions, 80 yards, 2 touchdowns. But Texans get the victory. My Cowboys, I got to rant a bit. Because my Cowboys lost to the New York Jets. Ain't that a bitch? How we lose to the New York Jets? Huh? Jason Garrett. How we lose to New York Jets? Huh? I want you to tell me. Huh? The Jets. That quarterback just came back from having mono. That quarterback just got over mono. Sam Darnold. Frankenstein just got over mono, and we lost to the stinking New York Jets. These boys didn't have 1 win on the season until goddamn Dallas come to town, and we lose to the New York Jets. Come on, man. You can't lose to the Jets. We lost to the Jets. You can't lose to the Jets. But guess what we did? We lost to the Jets. It's despicable. It's despicable that we lost to the Jets. The New York Jets. We lost to the New York Jets. You got to be out your mind to lose to the New York Jets. With this squad that we got, come on, man. The Jets. The Jets ain't good. Huh? 24-22, we lost. Prescott went 28-40, 277 yards, no touchdown. Zeke had 28 carries, 105 yards, touchdown. Tavon Austin had 5 receptions, 64 yards. Sam Darnold, young mono, went 23-32, 338 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 1 pick. Le'Veon Bell had 14 carries, 50 yards, 1 touchdown. R. Anderson for the Jets, the receiver, had 5 receptions, 125 yards, and a touchdown. Because he burnt somebody. He burnt a woozy ass on the double move. Damn, I just splashed myself. On the double move, went 92 yards on the double move. The Panthers beat the Buccaneers 37-26. Seahawks beat the Browns 32-28. Redskins beat the Dolphins like everybody else is, 17-16. The Eagles lost to the Vikings 38-20. Saints beat the Jaguars 13-6. The Bengals lost to the Ravens 23-17. The 49ers beat the Rams 20-7. The Cardinals beat the Falcons 34-33. The Titans lost to the Broncos. They got blanked by the Broncos 16-0. And the Steelers beat the Chargers 24-17. So that WNBA now. So I'm going to lead up to it because I know y'all let me watch some WNBA. So let's say, alright, so remember, little recap, right? So game one of the WNBA Finals against the Suns and the Mystics. Mystics won 95-86. So Elena Delladon, 22 points, 5 assists, 10 rebounds. And Cloud, 13 points, 7 assists, 4 rebounds. Delladon had 1 steal and 2 blocks. So, I'm just kidding. You know, game 1, game 2, the Sun beat the Mystics, 99-87. And the high person on the Sun was Jay Jones, 32 points, 1 assist, 18 rebounds. Yeah, C. Williams at 22 points, 6 assists, 3 rebounds. So, that's game 2. Game 3, the Mystics beat the Sun 94-81 to go back up 2-1 in the series, right? And Messiman had 21 points because Delladon was out this game because she fractured some vertebrae. She hurt some vertebrae. I say she fractured, but she hurt some vertebrae. So, Messiman, she had 21 points, 1 assist, 6 rebounds. Powers had 4 points, 8 rebounds. Christy Tolliver had 20 points, 10 assists, 2 rebounds. And so that's game 3. So game 4, the Sun beat the Mystics, tied the series up at 2-2 with a 90-86 victory. And Jay Jones had 18 points, 3 assists, 13 rebounds. A. Thomas had 17 points, 11 assists, 8 rebounds. And C. Williams had 2 steals. Them stats weird. But in the final game, the Mystics took the WNBA title 89-78 over the Sun. And Messiman had 22 points, 3 assists, 3 rebounds. Delladon had 21 points, 2 assists, 9 rebounds. Tolliver had 18 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds. And I believe Messiman won the WNBA Finals MVP because, you know, Delladon was out that one game. So Messiman did carry the team. So Messi Man won the WNBA final MVP. Why? Somebody got to go out there and ball, because if you don't ball, then you ain't really trying to win. And if you're really trying to win, you got to go out there and ball. See, man, y'all put y'all hands together for the Watch the Mystics, the 2019 WNBA champions. That's yeah. So let's get back to our stories, right? So, all right. If you listen to the Freedom Train podcast series, you've heard Patrick and I, and probably most likely Professor Carlton Jones, our homegirl Monique, have conversations about how when black people weaponize words and weaponize certain things, or when black people cry, fight certain things that we necessarily don't have to fight and push, then sometimes it can come back to get us. Now, not saying we should allow white people to call us the N-word, but if every time a white person say the N-word, say nigger, a nigger, we want them fired, then if you say it, it could happen to you. And most black people don't think it could happen to them because they black. But this black person, it happened to. So the L.A. Sports General Manager Penny Taller fired over N-word and expletive-laced rant. So they say she went in there and cussed everybody out. So after admitting using the N-word and expletives during the post-game rant, Virginia Penny Taller has been fired from her position as Los Angeles Sports General Manager and Executive Vice President. According to TMZ, the Sparks detailed how the organization released Toler of her duties. She had been GM for the last 20 years. So after 20 years, she came in there cussing everybody out one time and got fired. In an official statement, the Sparks made the announcement of Toler's departure from the team. Now, I'm wondering if she was a white male or a white woman when she got another chance after 20 years. I'm just wondering. I'm not saying she wasn't wrong, I'm just wondering. So Toler was relieved of her duties and will no longer be, not in these days, especially if she used the N-word. She just cussed him out, then yeah, but if she called somebody some nigga, if she's white, she called somebody some nigga, she'd be fired. So Toler was relieved of her duties and will no longer be with the organization effective immediately, the Sparks detail. A national search will begin immediately to identify the next general manager of the Sparks. Managing partner and governor Eric Holloman will assume the duties in the interim. Toler gave the team a heated post-game speech in the locker room after the Connecticut Sun defeated the Sparks on September 19th. The Sparks lost 94-68. She went there and cussed everybody out. You motherfuckers this and you motherfuckers that and you motherfuckers this and you hoes and you motherfuckers nigga this nigga motherfucker this motherfucker that motherfucker hit him with a motherfucking baseball bat nigga. Something like that. So the 50-year-old who is black, who admitted to using the N-word in other language deemed offensive by the players on ESPN, says the slur wasn't directed toward them. She just said, nigga, please. Y'all out there with that bullshit, man. I could be out there with that bullshit, letting these hoes bounce on y'all. I probably said some shit like that. Right. So it's unfortunate I used the word. I shouldn't. Nobody should. But, you know, like I said, I'm not here to defend word by word or by word what I said. I know some of the words that I'm being accused of are embellished. Did I give a speech that I hope would get our team going? Yes, she said. I think this whole conversation has been taken out of context because when we lose, emotions are running high. And unfortunately and obviously, some people feel some type of way. On Thursday, an investigation was launched against Toler's tirade by the WNBA commissioner, Kathy Engelbert. Los Angeles Sentinel's Lauren A. Jones shared the official statement of Toler's firing the following day. Let me see if I can make this bigger. Let me see if I can make this bigger. Bigger like a snicker. Now, I got to get close. The Los Angeles Sparks announced today that Executive Vice President and General Manager Pinnatola was relieved of her duties and will no longer be with the organization effective immediately. A national search will begin immediately to identify the next General Manager of the Sparks. Managing Partner and Governor Eric Holloman will assume the duties in the interim. On behalf of ownership and the entire Sparks organization, I'd like to thank Pinnatola for a successful and historic tenure with the organization, Holloman said. Penny is a foundational figure with the growth of the WNBA and has helped lead our franchise to perennial playoff success and multiple titles. We wish her nothing but the best moving forward. So, that was the statement. I don't know why they fired that black, sweet black woman. They should have kept her. I don't like your kind. This is Buford. I don't like your kind, and she seemed to not like your kind. She's my kind of woman. I like her words, and I really like that judge from that Amber Geiger. Oh, man, that judge turns me up. That judge turns me up. I don't like your kind, and your kind don't like you either. And I like the ones that don't like you. Oh, she turns me on every time she lies about why she gave that sweet white woman a hug. You Negroes going to have to learn that don't have privileges white people have. We can say the N-word and get away with it. Even if you fire us, we're going to get another job. So your ass still don't really win. You get a temporary feeling of happiness. But you know, like the black fella said, every time we say it, you want us fired. So why don't you think they fire you when you say it? N-word lover, huh? So think about it, Negroes. If we're going to get fired for saying it, you're going to get fired for saying it. That's just how it goes. I know you're mad. Be mad. Scratch your ass and get glad. That's what I say. This is Buford signing up. I just want to say I love her choice of words. And remember, I don't like your kind. Set your ass up, Buford. Set your motherfucking ass up, Buford. CCC. My brother, this is brother... Whittingham of the Nation of Brothers on the Side of the Road. And why do you allow that white man to come upon your show and spew that rhetoric, my brother? I mean, I'm just saying, dog, it's a free space and I want Buford to express himself and tell black folk the truth, because black folk like to get the sugar instead of the real. You know what I'm talking about? But see, my brother, Buford is a cancer to himself and his people. And you allow him to spew the rhetoric on your show, which diminishes the minds of our people, my brother. So I would just encourage you to do something a little more different than having the devil Buford on your... Who you calling the devil? I'm calling you a devil, you piece of trash, you filthy troglodyte. I ain't no dyke. Your mother's calling me a dyke. I ain't no dyke. I like women. You are dumber than you sound. My bad, I got caught up. But, yeah, when Pinnatola gone. So, sad for her. Alright, moving on in further news. That boy, Errol Spence, who just came off of his Victor Thurman, he got into a real bad car accident. He was in a Lamborghini, Ferrari, expensive, rich people cars. That, I mean, I can buy one. Don't get it twisted, not. My money long, man. My money strong. I'm a millionaire, dog. Look me in my good eye. Tell me I'm a millionaire. I got so much money that money jealous of me. The bank's jealous of me. I got so much money. You heard me? Calling me a billionaire is an understatement. That's how much money I got. So, but that's one of the rich people cars, you know, so one of our people cars. But he was in, it was a Ferrari. And he suffered serious injuries in the crash in Dallas. So, boxer Errol Spence, a welterweight boxing champion from DeSoto, was seriously injured Thursday morning, and this was October 10th. The article was released October 10th, so not too long ago, when he crashed a Ferrari near downtown Dallas. Police said the 29-year-old is expected to survive his injuries but remains in intensive care. Premier Boxing Championship spokesman Tim Smith confirmed his identity along with Dallas police. Smith said Spence's parents, and the words just disappeared. Smith said Spence's parents were with him at Methodist Dallas Medical Center and that the boxer's injuries were not considered life-threatening. The single car crash occurred around 3 a.m. when Spence lost control at high speed on the 500 block of South Riverfront Boulevard, police said. The car crossed the median into oncoming traffic and flipped several times. Spence, who was not wearing a seatbelt, was ejected. Come on, man. Spence was taken to Methodist Hospital with serious injuries. The boxer is awake and responding, and his condition is listed as stable. He did not sustain any broken bones or fractures, but has some facial lacerations. He is expected to make a full recovery. Spence's family said in a statement Thursday evening, they were continuing. Oh, so that's what Spence said in the statement. So the police said they'll continue to investigate the crash, but noted that the car was speeding at the time of the crash. Video footage showed the car rolling multiple times. Yeah, and like there's footage. Like I'm gonna play this video right here. Like the car flipped. That car flipped and flipped and flipped and flipped and flipped. That bitch flipped, flipped, flipped. He tripped. So, that's what happened, man. Errol Spencer's in the car crash, man. We wish him a speedy and a well recovery and full recovery, but don't do that shit no more, bro. Don't do that shit no more. Don't come out here with that dumb shit. Tell me. Yeah, you got a bright future. Don't do that shit, man. It's time for my weekly rant, and it's aimed at a pussy cracker from Penn who represent Penn State. I'm trying to tell that man he can't wear his locks because his locks don't represent the school, right? But this pussy ass crap. Man. So, read you this letter from the pussy ass crap, man. Make this shit. He said, oh, no. This ain't it. This ain't the letter. All right, the letter is, Dear Jonathan, my wife and I are proud older graduates of Penn State. We follow all Penn State sports, football, wrestling, volleyball, gymnastics, basketball. We love it all. I played all the sports in my younger days, still play full court basketball into my 50s. Nobody give a fuck. Love the competition, but never had the size or the talent to reach your level, though the desire was there. So this the pussy cracker build up, right? Though the athletes of today are certainly superior to those in my days, we miss the clean cut young men and women from those days. Nobody give a fuck. Watching the Idaho game on TV couldn't help but notice your well, awful hair. Your wife had awful. Your bitch looking like a wet dog. Surely there must be mirrors in your locker room. Surely you must be a bitch in your own home. Surely you must have mirrors in your locker room. Ugly ass pussy crack 'em. Don't you have parents or girlfriends who told you those shoulder length dreadlocks look disgusting and are certainly not attractive? This racism just spewing out his pussy ass, right? We congratulate you on your game against Pitt, but you need to remember, you represent all Penn State's starters, both current and those alumni from years past. We would welcome the reappearance of dress codes for athletes. You will certainly be playing on Sunday in the future, but we have stopped watching the NFL due to the disgusting tattoos and hair and immature antics in the end zone. Players should act as though they've been there before. For the glory, sign, pussy ass crap. Right? So, he wrote that to Jonathan Sutherland. So, this is Jonathan Sutherland's reply. Yesterday, I received a letter by an alumni from the Pennsylvania State University who felt the need to share his degrading opinions in regards to my hair and what it stands for. Although the message was indeed rude, ignorant, and judging, I've taken no personal offense to it because, personally, I must respect you as a person before I respect your opinion. So, okay, he's saying he don't have no respect for the pussy cracker. Okay. At the end of the day, without an apology, I forgive this individual because I'm nowhere close to being perfect and expect God to forgive me for all the wrong that I've done in my life. Man, shut that shit up. Fuck that pussy cracker. We bombing on that pussy cracker, man. We ain't forgiving shit. We bombing on that pussy cracker. Bring this a little closer, though. Don't look like I'm being crazy. Fuck that pussy crack, man. Galatians 3:13 states, bear with each other and forgive one another. And if any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgive you. Yeah, but Joseph Ward 7:19 say, fuck that pussy crack, right? I appreciate everyone who has reached out to me and showed their support. Let this be one of the many examples to us that in the year 2019, people of different cultures, religions, and ethnicities are still being discriminated against, and it needs to stop. But you ain't going to do nothing trying to forgive every goddamn body. Trying to forgive every goddamn body ain't going to make that shit stop. So in the game, the players came out in shirts that says, change tattoos, dreads, we are Penn State, right? And that was the warm-up shirt, but then they was made to take those warm-up shirts off because they quote-unquote didn't want NCAA violations. So what's the name of this pussy crack? I'm looking for the name of this pussy ass crack who wrote this letter. Because it's Franklin. Something Franklin. Oh, I don't know. Oh, Dave Peterson. Puts a cracker named that. First of all, me, knowing me, he wrote that to me. I started my letter off with, suck my dick, you pussy ass cracker. I beat your motherfucking... I can't put that. You ain't shit, you pussy ass cracker. I ain't cutting my hair because you don't like my hair, you pussy ass cracker. Think I like your wet dog looking ass hair, you pussy ass cracker. Fuck you, your wife, your kids, and everything that you stand for, you pussy-ass cracker. I don't give a fuck what you and your pussy-ass wife don't like. Your wife don't like your ass, that's why you ain't having sex with her. She like black dick, though. Your wife like black dick in her mouth, though. Fuck you, your family, and everything you stand for, you pussy-ass cracker. Suck my dick, you pussy-ass cracker. And if she don't like it, I bet you won't pull up. That what I would have wrote to his pussy ass. I'm trying to tell me that I can't wear my dreads because he don't like the motherfucking dreads because he missed the days of clean cut after his hair. I missed the days when crackers weren't pussy ass crackers. And guess what? That wasn't never. That was before pussy ass crackers brought us to showed up in Africa. You want to come with that shit? I don't like your hair. Bitch, I don't like you. I don't like your life. Pussy cracker. Suck my dick. Who you think you talking to? Fuck you think you talking to? Who you think you writing a letter to, you pussy cracker, huh? Who you think you writing that letter to? You don't know me. Don't tell me what the fuck I can and can't wear. Bitch, I'm a grown ass man. I what the fuck I want to wear. If you don't like it, bitch, don't tune in. You think Penn State miss your pussy ass TV? You think they miss your pussy ass presence? You really believe that we give a shit whether you watch the game or not? You really think that affect these millions coming in because your pussy ass don't watch the game? Bitch, we getting millions. Penn State making millions off this football shit. You think they're going to miss your ass? You pussy ass cracker, man. Come on, man. You ain't shit. Your family ain't shit. Your wife ain't shit. That's why the boys ran the train on your wife behind the locker room. Allegedly. After talking that shit, you pussy ass cracker. With them shirts that said chains, braids, tattoos, razor blades, gold teeth, pussy ass crackers. Fuck y'all. We are Penn State. Yeah. How about that? Ain't nobody cutting shit, bitch. How about you cut your goddamn TV off, bitch? Pussy ass cracker. Fuck wrong with you, man? You gonna write a letter to somebody like that, man? You lucky you ain't write that letter to me, you pussy ass cracker. What's your name, Dave Peterson? You lucky you ain't write that letter to me. I would have hurt your motherfucking feelings, you pussy ass cracker. Come on, I'm about to give a fuck what you like. You miss the days. I miss the days of clean cut athletes, bitch. We miss the days when your ass. We miss the days when we used to allegedly drop these nuts in your wife's mouth. How about that? Bet your ass won't pull up. Who the fuck still write letters these days like that? Your old ass wrote a letter. You ain't emailed shit. You wrote a letter. That's some intimate shit. It was all into that when you put that crack. I bet you he's going to. Feel me. I'm going to make sure he understands my point because my name is Dave Peterson and I'm a pussy ass cracker. Fuck you, Dave Peterson. That's all the time and attention you're going to get right here on the Fix Sports Podcast. Why? Because you a pussy ass cracker. Hey man, I'm Joseph Ward signing off. Right here on the Freedom Train Network, www.freedomtrainradio.com. Remember, you can get the fix on Patreon, the video of the fix on Patreon at patreon.com/fix. All day, every day, and day. We get it in, we get it down, we do what we do because we the realest, we the illest. And if we run up, it's going to fill us. So, once again, I'm Joseph Ward, two fingers in the air like a player because, you know, we just don't care because guess what? I got to get the hell up out of here. Yeah.
I call the president. President, we need a National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack.
His heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like